Chapter 23. The Burning Men. Obeck had returned to the Obstinate and stood in the darkness of the ship's teleportarium. Corpuscent trailed across three metal limbs that arched over the expansive dais of the teleportation array and cast flickering illumination into the large chamber. As well as Obeck and his honor guard, it revealed Ulok and a cohort of Medusan immortals. At the chamber's periphery stood Aram Gallicus. He looked on pensively, not a part of Ulok's breacher squad, and at a signal from the Iron Father did not linger.
"Second Revenant cohort," said Ulok, without bothering to look behind him.
Gallicus nodded and left the chamber. Morakan the Silent was apparently absent too, but then he might still have been watching unseen. Obeck had seldom seen the Iron Father without his shadow. The rest of the Shattered Legions were engaged in a direct assault on the Sun of Victory. 12 Cestus assault rams had deployed in a wide dispersal across the length of the frigate, the Iron Hands legionaries on board targeting the ship's bridge, weapons decks, and other strategically valuable locations. They would maintain pressure on the Sun's defenders, whilst a smaller cadre, consisting of Gorog Krask's Terminators, would seek out the Adept. Ulok had theorized that Regulus would have embedded his sanctum deep in the heart of the vessel, and on one of the lower decks, near the Engineerium. A drop pod assault against this area of the ship had commenced after the main assault was underway. A continuous situational report broadcast over the Vox, unheeded by the servitors and menials busying themselves with the array's preparation and function, but listened to intently by Obeck and Ulok. Its crackling refrain echoed in the large chamber and brought news that Krask had gained the lower Engineerium deck.
"Encountering resistance!"
Krask's voice reverberated over the Vox. The crack of weapons discharge undercut it. To Obeck's ears it sounded like Laz and solid shot. Armsmen. A roar of bolter fire overwhelmed the Vox, so intense it cut out. It returned a few seconds later with only Krask's voice and the droning undercurrent of the ship's engines on the feed.
"Neutralized!"
A ship schematic displayed via Hololith provided positional data on the Firedrakes. Krask and his squad were making steady progress from their original point of ingress and navigating across the Engineerium deck to a major nexus that hopefully led to the inner core of the ship.
"The Sanctum will be near," said Ulok,
coldly regarding the schematic and the flashing icon that represented the salamanders.
"Engage the Homer as soon as you are across its threshold."
"Affirmative. Engaging."
Another slew of bolter fire sounded across the Vox, a cacophony of muzzle flare and muffled detonations so loud it bordered on white noise. An answering salvo came in its wake.
"Renegade sighted! Sons of Horus!"
Obeck gripped the haft of his sheathed gladius all the tighter, reacting to Krask's warning.
"Taking heavy fire!"
The Vox cut out again, unable to cope with the intense auditory returns. It took longer to re-establish this time. After a tense interruption of almost a minute, the Vox came back in screaming fury. A deadly firefight had erupted as entrenched renegade defenders took on Krask's Terminators. No sterner protection existed for a Zone Mortalis engagement than tactical dreadnought armor. In the grim confines of a shipboard assault, its heavy plating and potent weapon systems could tear apart bulkheads and defenses, whilst weathering almost anything leveled against it. Yet it was not inviolable. The defenders of the Sons of Victory hunkered behind raised automated barricades as a pair of rapier destroyers enfiladed down the corridor. Krask reflected that the renegades must have purposefully deployed at a cross-junction with a sealed bulkhead at their backs, seemingly confident in their ability to hold this crucial nexus of interlinking corridors. Steam flooded the narrow space from ruptured heating vents, and the smoke from over a dozen deck fires funneled down to it through atmospheric turbines. Again, this was by design, and intended to foul auto-senses. Krask fought through a miasma, braced behind a dragon-scale storm shield in the Firedrake vanguard, as the Sons of Horus unleashed their heavy weapons. It was like advancing into a hurricane, hammered by las beams and staggered by incendiaries. A wash of flame spewed into his midst, surging hungrily around the drakes, intended to blind and disorientate. Krask held fast behind his shield, roaring down the vox at his brothers to do the same. The first five legionaries in the ranks were shield-bearers, their blunt assault designed to stun an enemy formation and leave it crippled and reeling, for the second half to finish off with combi bolters and chain fists. Its configuration was versatile and powerful, and more than enough to overwhelm whatever came the Fire Drake's way. It was not infallible, though. Wrath stumbled, losing his bearings for an instant before a rapier's lascannon cored through his exposed chest. The beam struck him high, shearing through hardened adamantium and ceramite. It broke the aegis of Wrath's armor, severing through the mesh and fiber bundles in his arm, and then took off the limb at the shoulder in a welter of sparks and blood. Wrath's storm shield struck the deck with a barely audible but ominous resonation. A second beam hit his solar plexus, cutting his bellow of defiance short and burning a crater through his torso that speared all the way through his back.
"Forward!"
roared Krask. The lascannons would be charging for another salvo.
"We are the favored of Vulcan!"
Badurak took Wrath's place in the vanguard, locking shields with Krask, who had resumed a dogged advance into the teeth of the guns. Together they marched in lockstep, yard by bitter yard, and slowly, inexorably increased their pace. The rank of shields behind them did the same, until the drakes had overcome the considerable inertia exerted by their armor and charged.
"Slay them!"
roared Krask, as he bulled through a barricade, smashing it apart with his hammer Cragfell. It had been master-crafted by his own hand, an artisan weapon with a heavier head than an ordinary thunderhammer and a longer haft. Only Krask could wield it with a storm shield. He battered one renegade, smashing the shoulder and hearing bone crack. A second he rammed in the throat with the shield's scalloped edge, cutting off the legionary's head. It made enough room to swing Cragfell, which tore the defenders off their feet as it obliterated power armor. Badurak and the other two shield-bearers laid in with their own hammers, the energy discharge from every blow lighting up the gloom in destructive monochrome. As they bludgeoned the defenders, Krask signalled for the second half of his squad to move in.
"Take the bulkhead!"
he ordered calmly, as he speared a prone legionary through the chest with Cragfell's fang pommel. As his brother's chain fists began to tear up the solid bulkhead, a second tranche of defenders entered from the left-facing corridor. Krask and his men were standing in the cross-junction. Three legionaries with combi bolters prepared to lay down covering fire as a welter of bolt shells careened off the armor and shields of the exposed fire drakes, but never even acquired targets, as a wall section farther down the corridor blew in, bringing smoke, fire, and a storm of plascrete. Through the ragged breach came a squad of Medusan immortals.
"Hold fire!"
Krask warned, not wishing to hit the Iron Hands legionaries. They needed to push on. The bulkhead was about to yield, but the Firedrake master could only watch in rapt fascination as the immortals went about their gory task in utter silence. No war cries escaped their lips, no shouts or roars of pain or anger. They appeared implacable, redoubtable, but without true animus. The Sons of Horus had quickly regrouped and retaliated hard. A spear of burning promethium struck the Iron Hands legionaries, breaking against their shields and taking hold of their armor. The Flamer-bearer maintained the pressure, and soon the entire first rank of immortals was utterly consumed. Tanks spent, the Flamer-bearer stepped back, but as the fire died down, Krask saw the immortals still advancing, with their bodies ablaze. No screams, just a cold determination to kill their enemies. A close-range Vulkite burst seared off an immortal's arm and half of his face, but he did not cry out, and kept on coming. A second was impaled on a power sword, the crackling blade thrust two-handed by its wielder, as one of his battle brothers rammed a chainsaw downwards into the immortal's chest. It did not yield, and no sound betrayed its certain agony. Methodically, inexorably, the immortals took the renegades apart. As the bulkhead preventing further encroachment into the ship finally came down, Krask was left with the image of the Iron Hands legionaries bludgeoning the last of the renegades with mauls and the stocks of their bolters. He felt no aggression from them as he departed. No emotion at all. Just a host of burning men putting others to the sword without vengeance and bereft of satisfaction of any kind.
Brothers, well met,
he cried to them, raising his thunderhammer in salute. None replied. None even acknowledged the gesture. They simply turned their backs and walked on.
Master Krask!
It was Badurak, come to summon his leader. Krask's war helm hid his disquiet, and he gave a shallow nod.
Onward,
he uttered, his voice betraying his feelings.
Into the breach and off this ship as soon as we are able.
As he pushed through to the vanguard, he raised his hammer again.
Favored of Vulcan!
His brothers echoed him, but the sound of their affirmation did not allay the unease he had felt. Kernan knew it would end soon. He had sharpened his blade and cleansed it of grime. He left Solomus's blood on his armor as a grim reminder of fate. Vox reports from throughout the ship filtered through to his war helm. Almost every deck was overrun. The bridge had fallen. Every weapon the Son of Victory had in its modest arsenal had been silenced. 9 legionaries chosen by Kernan stood with him. Each was a veteran, and their blades crackled as they were drawn, much like Kernan's. Each had removed their weapons belts and left them discarded in one corner of the outer sanctum.
Here is honor, thought Kernan.
Chthonia had a barbaric culture, but amidst its slums, the ganglords knew what honor meant, even if the form they knew was vicious and cruel. The door to the outer sanctum remained closed, but Kernan had not sealed it. He was not hiding, nor trying to prolong his life. He merely waited for his death to come and find him.
I am here, he said to himself,
and found the hatred that had lain so heavy upon his shoulders begin to ease. The adept had told him to seek out a worthy death, and only as the sanctum door began to rise did he learn how worthy. As the aperture widened and his foes became known, Kernan smiled and knew it would be most worthy. A few minutes dwelling in the darkness of the mausoleum, and Gallicus's armor had already gained a rime of frost. As he pressed deeper into the chamber, the thin white veneer of it fractured and came apart. The air ghosted around the heat sinks of his generator and respirator grill. He found Azoth still in his casket, not amongst those chosen to assault the renegade ship, although a great many of the cryostasis vaults were empty and thickened the already nitrogen-rich air with the overbleed from their disengaged immersion pipes.
Brother.
He uttered the word solemnly, sadly, as he placed a gauntleted hand upon the obscured glass of Azoth's casket. A bioscanner betrayed the life signs of the ostensible corpse within, but it was not true anima. It had not been Azoth for a long time, not since the Retiarius.
You died there,
whispered Gallicus, and bowed his head in shame.
I will help you die again. I vow this, my oath.
Some of the frost had retreated against the heat of Gallicus's gauntlet, and as he raised his eyes again, he saw the face of his former brother through the narrow aperture he had just created. Though his was fraught with emotion behind the faceplate of his war helm, Azoth wore a different mask. It spoke of endless winters and grey, chill earth. A tomb-like silence descended, undercut by the dulcet thrum of the active cryostasis vaults. Gallicus said nothing, and only turned and left the mausoleum behind. As he was leaving the chamber, he activated his helmet vox.
Sarion, he uttered. This ends now.
He found the apothecary waiting for him, unarmed and submissive. The badly injured Salamander's legionaries were still prone upon their medislabs, though Gallicus saw one was absent.
Who did you send?
The rad victim. Ulok wanted to see the effects of the process on him.
With Morrigan?
Yes, he took the Salamander with him. Gallicus muttered.
Of course he did.
The others are to be awakened soon, the apothecary said, hesitating. Including Azoth. Gallicus shook his head.
How many of us are left, Saurian? How many true legionaries? Though more than a handful. Ulok prefers slaves to brothers.
Saurian bowed his head sadly, and was about to return to his work when Gallicus's voice stopped him.
No, he said calmly.
Saurian frowned.
It is our duty. No.
We cannot... Since visiting the mausoleum, Gallicus had removed his helm, and it hung from his belt, so when he snarled and advanced upon him, Saurian could see his fury.
No more,
he said, seizing the apothecary by the throat.
This wretchedness ends.
Saurian allowed Gallicus's wrath, not struggling, and after a few moments was released.
Morrican is not here to see his will done any more,
murmured Gallicus, as he regarded the biosigns of the wounded. Saurian grimaced, rubbing his injured throat.
It is betrayal, Iron Brother.
Gallicus turned and said in a soft voice,
And what we have allowed already is not.
The apothecary's silence told him there was no argument.
Beyond waking the revenants.
Gallicus's attention had returned to the wounded, but he warned,
Do not sully them with that name.
Saurian nodded.
Beyond waking our fallen brothers, to do anything more, only the Iron Father can use the vault.
That has been so,
agreed Gallicus, as he approached one Medislav in particular.
Until now. I spoke to their captain. I trust the Drakes. I trust him.
The Tech Marine still slept in suspended animation, but his biosigns appeared stable, and the burn damage that had melted the augmetic part of his cranium had begun to heal.
That is Forge Master Tekel,
uttered Saurian. I cannot just
wake him, brother.
His injuries.
He may not. Gallicus was about to take a step towards the apothecary when he felt something seize his wrist and looked down to see a hand.
Where is Obik?
Tekel demanded.
Where are my legionary brothers?